Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Original intent. We always like to talk about original intent. I want to talk to you about that before, you know, you head off for the extra hour, John. And so, you know, I want to talk about the original intent of, you know, America. We talk about the original intent of the church and the original intent of America, intent. And, you know, the Bill of Rights. And somebody says, I mean, you don't even hear that anymore, really, you know, talked about. But what the Bill of Rights are, it actually is the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution. You know, and it's pretty every day your life in America, it happens in the context of boundaries. There's things that are set up. There's decisions being made from the top to the bottom in our country for government now. That is governed by the U.S. Constitution, because Constitution means that's what you're made of. You know, that's what you're made of. And so when somebody starts talking about changing the Constitution, they're talking about changing what America is made of, what it consists of, what holds it together. And we don't want to do that. You know, we already talked about the First Amendment already, and that's very, very important. But now, you know, I also want to talk about, you know, Fourth Amendment. And the Fourth Amendment, you know, is, I want to just go to the Fifth Amendment today, you know, because we're talking about law enforcement. In the Fourth Amendment, you know, it talks about, let me read it to you. This is the Fourth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on the presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in the case arising in a land of naval forces or in a militia. That's not the one I want to talk about. Give me one moment. Let me roll this back up here because I want to talk about. Here it is. It's Fourth Amendment. The search and seizure. I was like, man, that doesn't sound like the Fourth Amendment when I was reading it. Let me read the Fourth Amendment to you. Somebody says, you know, that the Fourth Amendment says you can't do this and you can't do that. Let me read it to you. The right of a person the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against all unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly described the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. This is so important. This is why somebody can't walk up to you on the streets and just start up, you know, checking your pockets out and pulling your ID out of your back pocket. But today, with technology, like in New York, you remember what they were doing? They actually had a camera that was searching people.
They'll scan it.
They were scanning people, and it scanned you basically, you know, if you had any metal or whatever on your. It basically was an X-ray. It just showed your body and anything on your body, and your clothes were there, I believe.
It could have been anything.
Yeah, it could have been anything. And so they were violating the Fourth. So they took it to court, and they said, you know, this is a violation of the Fourth Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. You know, and think how important that is, because without the Constitution that people are talking about wanting to change, then these devices would be all over the place.
Yeah.
But the Fourth Amendment that many people, maybe your own family member, maybe you even considered it. You know, maybe people around you were considering it. Understand it was the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution that challenged that mindset of being able to search, you know, somebody without their consent. And you got to have probable cause. You know, I talked to you during, parenting about battery, you know, what the definition of battery is, and it's just touching somebody without their permission. But probable cause is very, very important. You know, we had to learn this when we were going through the police academy and all, when I was training for law enforcement, that probable cause is evidence that leads you to believe that a crime has been committed or was about to be committed. So there has to be tangible evidence that you can't just say, you know, that person looks like a criminal, you know, which has been happening. And that's why you see people, they're prejudging people. They're profiling people And that's a violation of, if they're American, it's a violation of their Fourth Amendment rights that you can't just do that. You got to have probable cause to believe that a crime has or is about to be committed. So what's happening right now is that, and so what we would do in law enforcement, we would actually have the person write out a warrant, and they would describe to a T the probable cause why they believe that they were violated if we weren't present when that thing actually happened. And then we would take it to before a judge, and the judge would read it, and that person would swear before us. They would raise their hand. They swear before us as an officer, and then they would sign it, and that fulfilled the Fourth Amendment right. And now the judge would review it, and if he believed that there was probable cause to make an arrest, which means an arrest means this, bring everybody to the court so I can hear the evidence, and then we'll find out if a crime's been committed. Arrest does not mean you're guilty. And the church has to get that, because there might be a lot of us. You know, don't be jumping on the prognosticating bandwagon. And so then he reviews it, he or she reviews it, and if there's probable cause there, they'll sign that warrant. They'll make it a warrant. It's a warrant affidavit, which means requesting a warrant, and it becomes a warrant arrest warrant. And then they go out and they serve that warrant and they bring the person in. See, the whole process is the Fourth Amendment. You can't just go, I got a good friend, go do this. You can't do that kind of stuff. But with all this new technology, you know, we're giving up so many Fourth Amendment rights. You know, we're being searched day in and day out, you know, and we're going to be talking in the second hour about how things are being set up for the end times and tracking. The key to Satan has to track you. You know, Satan has to, he does not have the gifts, he doesn't have the abilities God has. So he has to literally have an administration of how he's going to administer things.
Right.
And with technology, it's increasing to where he can. And we're going to talk about, you know, setting up the end times for tracking and how, you know, Google mapping is setting up to the point now where they want to continue to go three-dimensional, and even in the buildings that you actually in, that they want to know where you are in that building at that particular time. Facial recognition, which is the big developer that's out of Israel, and Facebook's had it for quite some time. We're going to talk about that and how that works. And when all these things come together, and we're going to talk about Johnny Foote's prophetic word about the beast economy and all the things, John, that you and I, God's been showing us about what's going to happen in the economy, that is like, hello, you know, it's happening. But yeah. And so the thing that sets us apart is, you know, is God, you know, because the Constitution acknowledges God and our rights come from God, you know, but also in that Constitution, it's the Fourth Amendment.
Right. And don't you think too, it's the trust, the trust in God. You know, because you see so many people, especially, you know, after 9/11 and terrorists, especially here in New York, they're willing to give up so much of their rights because of fear, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, how are we going to give up all of these rights? Because we can't, you know, we have to trust God. We can't trust in systems. We can't trust in searches. And if we're not trusting the Lord, we're going to give up all these rights. This is, you know.
That's exactly what happens, that, you know, fear produces, you know, self-preservation.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it's just, you know, I say this often, but it's really amazing to me that people try to live so, they put so much energy in trying to live, and they never do. It's like, you fought that hard to live, and that's what you're doing with it? Is that, I'm serious, you know, I'm just, you know, and it could just be me, I don't know, but I'm like, you know, ballroom dancing. Yeah, you know, it's just weird. It's like, really, I just don't understand. It's like, you know, one man said, he says, you know, until you're ready to die for something, you're not ready to live for anything. And as believers, we were supposed to have already died with Christ, and our hope is not in this life, but in the life to come. We should not be signing over our rights, you know, to governments and all. I mean, willingly doing it. I mean, the kingdom is going to ride no matter what. It doesn't matter what kind of form of government happens, you know. I mean, the church is all over the world, and it's not only America's form of government where the church is at, and the church is thriving in some other places where it seems to be sleeping under democracy. So I just want to say that it doesn't determine where the church goes, but we should not. This is what I feel. You know, and I was talking to you about this, John,
right,
that we're going to have to answer for this freedom. Right. Pat, we're going to have to answer for this freedom, man.
That's right.
I don't know how much freedom we have left. I hope we have a whole bunch left.
Yeah. Much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required, you know?
All the nations that have ever existed since the beginning of time, there's probably never been as much freedom for its citizens as it's been for America. And so the American church, you know, us as believers, if we don't set aside God's commands and take on men's traditions, which is a whole other thing coming on VFN TV soon, then we could take the world for God. You know, we could be, you know, every one of us could be going out into the harvest field and sharing the good news and bringing God glory across the land. And what do we use the freedom for? What did we use? What did you use your freedom for?
But look, it's even being our children being robbed of freedom. Look what's happening in New York. We've talked about this before with the school system and the principal.
Right.
I mean, that it's been robbed.
Right. Right. They actually, and we put that on the VFN TV blog today, that they told the kindergartners, the ones at the kindergarten, they said, listen, you cannot sing Lee Greenwood's song, God Bless America, because it's too controversial. And you think, this is the thing about it. The freedom that we have, John, Pat, the freedom that we have, that we can stand up as an American now, as an American, as a citizen, and we can say, well, we don't agree with that. That's not wrong to say that. Mm-hmm. We just don't sit back and allow our rights to be taken from us, you know, and even if eventually they are taken from us, we want to be fighting for those rights on the side of it just being taken away. We just don't want to just kind of go to sleep and just allow it all to happen.
All right.
You know, and, you know, with that we have this freedom, and this is the freedom you have. You, as a believer, you have the freedom to follow Jesus Christ. You have the freedom to witness to your neighborhood. You have the freedom to speak boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the freedom to get on things like social communities and just talk all you want to about the things of God and all that. But there's other nations that don't have that, and they will actually arrest you like Iran right now. And we have the pastor that's in lots of people that are in jail in Iran because they will not agree with the doctrine. They said you have to deny, you know, Jesus Christ as the Son of God for them to let them out of jail.
Right. You can gather publicly.
Yes. And, you know, the thing about it, too, is that you know, we've totally forgot that our enemy is spiritual, that it's, you know, you wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and evil spirits and principalities and all this realm you can't see. And a lot of times we think it's people, and people are being used, but it's that second heaven, we call it. Satan's behind that, which means they don't have to even be in agreement. They don't even have to be in the same religion. They don't have to even be friends, but they can be all moving harmoniously to do away with Israel and do away with the church, with Christians. And you have to pay attention, because you're thinking that people have to get together to strategize to take you out. They don't have to do that, because Satan's been strategizing for a long time. And you can look at history alone, which we did in our last VFN gathering where we all came together, you know, for God's seeking God's perspective of Israel. And, you know, one day, you know, Israel's, you know, just like America, they're walking around, living in nice places, they're, you know, running businesses and all that. And the next day, John, the next day, you know, God's people are walking down the street in a parade of people just marching in their nice attire, but they're throwing manure at them and they're cussing at them. And they're, you know, you and I went to the Holocaust Museum in New York and Patton, you and I went in Israel, didn't we? We were there.
And DC as well.
Yeah. In DC. And that it's just, you got to remember, this is what happens. This is what happens. You know, if you're a Christian, I got news for you. Satan don't like you, you know, and if he's acting like he's your friend, it's only to do you in. And Israel is your friend, and we are Israel's friend. And that we got to stick together. We, you know, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We love them. And that, and with that if we give this freedom up, if we just sit back, and they were surprised, you know, the Jews were surprised that how could this be happening, you know, and they kept on believing the press up until the last moment. And Satan will just lie to you to the very last second, mm-hmm. you know, and he has no problem. That's the biggest thing about, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like, yeah. You think, well, my goodness, you're, you know, really? And it's like, nope, I have no problem lying. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, not only is he a liar, but he's the father of lies. And so, you know, that don't believe the press, you know, that the adversary would say, and realize that we have freedom right now. We can either go to sleep and end up walking down the street. And I'm not saying that we're going to end up in some camp somewhere, but I will tell you, it can happen. Martial law can happen. You know, we were in the hurricanes in the Gulf area, and they locked everybody down, didn't they?
It's amazing what happens when the National Guard says, you better go home because it's a curfew.
There was
it's a gun.
Yeah, and there was one gas station open in the whole region, and we were like booking it, trying to get some gas. And it was surrounded by military saying, go away.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and then we realized we were out past curfew.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you know, you got to know that martial law means that, you know, as we talked about, that the Constitution gets put on standby. And all these constitutional rights just stop during martial law. And it's just like a place under siege. So I want to encourage you, you know, under original intent, we're talking about American Day, the Constitution. Know it. Know the Bill of Rights. You know what the Fourth Amendment says. You know, it's not wrong for you to say, you know, I would like to have an attorney. You know, if you're going to build a house, you know, you don't just find somebody off the street and say, hey, can you build me a house? And you don't. If you've never built before, you know, people do try this, but eventually after you make a mess, you do bring somebody in, you know, but you actually go hire a carpenter,
right?
Because the carpenter knows how to build, you know, and if you have a situation with your constitutional rights, you know, you need to be able to hire an attorney, you know, and like I said, that when they arrest you, they'll read you your rights. They'll tell you, you have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed to represent you. Before questioning, if you wish, well, it's not, you don't look guilty when you actually say, "Yes, I would like to have an attorney." You look wise, you know, because you don't understand the law. You need somebody to help you walk through that whole process. And so, you know, John Stenberger, we had a great chance to meet John Stenberger and be with him. He's an awesome attorney out of Orlando, and you know, and he's connected with a lot of different attorneys that stand up for constitutional rights and. I believe focus on the family as well. And UCLJ, right?
I forget the name of it.
Yeah, but you can find it at John Stenberger's site, and we'll have more about that on the VFN TV blog.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or through the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone. That's VFNTV.com.